hotline. All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline since it is already a Thursday, and this is crunch time, and it's a final segment. What do you say we hit you with a little lightning round action?
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
Yes, it's a Thursday lightning round. I'm freezing for a reason in another part of town. I'm trying to avoid freezing my arse off because it's a lightning round.
Wow. So, I'm going to give like a D on enthusiasm, an A plus for saying arse because that's a funny word, and I think that averages out to about a C. So good stuff today, Steve.
There's people here. I can't be singing out loud. They'll have me committed.
I mean, you know, it probably also looks like you're just talking to yourself and you should
yes.
be committed anyways. So, you know, you might as well sing, right?
All right. I guess it would have been. It's like, who's kidding who at this point?
Exactly. Let us begin the lightning round. Joseph Eric Thornton, Jumbo Joe, the San Jose Sharks center, is 39 years old, coming off his 21st season in the NHL. He's won a Hart Trophy as league MVP, an Art Ross Trophy as the leader in points in 05-06 when he played for two teams in the same season, and has spent 14 now in San Jose wearing the teal and black. He's career leader for the Sharks in assists, averaged nearly a point per game over his 14 years, and only second to Patrick Marleau in points, goals, and games played, because Marleau had an 8-year head start on him in San Jose, playing there most of his career. Thornton is a future Hall of Famer as well, 14th all-time in points, 8th all-time in assists, 12th in games played, but he could possibly be done for his career. His contract is up July 1st. He turns 40 July 2nd. Today he said that if he does return for year 22 and for that elusive Stanley Cup, it would be in teal, but when you're at 40 in the NHL, unless you're Gordie Howe or Jaromir Jagr, it's hard to play at a high level. What percent chance do you give Joe Thornton returning for his 22nd NHL season?
Man, almost 1,500 career points. If he were to come back, he would get within, probably not Ray Bourque, but he'd pass Paul Coffey and Mark Recchi. I'm going to go with my heart. I hope he returns. I would assume that there would be some financial flexibility just to be back for one more year. So if I were to say, I would give him about a 60% chance of returning.
I like it. Staying in the Bay Area, the Giants are going on a road trip next week. They're taking on new baseball powerhouse, the Miami Marlins. That's right. The Giants and Marlins are meeting in Miami starting next Tuesday with a combined 37 wins as of today, which I'm sure by Monday will also be at 37 wins. The Marlins are known for two things, Derek Jeter being bad at his job and fans not showing up to watch the Marlins. Their top five games in attendance this year were opening day, which wasn't even close to a sellout at 25,000 people, a Mets series and a Phillies series, and those games got a huge boost, getting just over 12,000, mostly because they occurred during the week. During the weekend. During the week, their highest attended game was against the Cubs, and let's be honest, it was mostly just Cub fans. Giants fans aren't going to travel across the country to watch this team, and they're certainly not going to do it to watch the Marlins, and the Marlins fans already aren't showing up. So there will be over under 15,000 people at all three Giants-Marlins games this week.
Combined? So you're saying averaging less than five, but and the series is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yes, and for midweek games, they're somewhere between like 5,000 and 9,000.
I'll tell you, first of all, break up the Marlins. They've won 6-0. By the time this series finishes, they may have a magic number. But I like where you're going with this. I'm going to actually take the under, and we need to follow up on this.
Okay, I will make sure that happens. No team has collapsed faster and quieter than the Seattle Mariners have this year. They started off 13-2. They had a 4-game lead in the AL West. They have since gone 10-27. This is much more like the Mariners many expected going into 2019. That's a swing of 4 games up to 11 games back in about a month and a half. That said, these bad Mariners are kind of fun to watch. They lead the majors in home runs with 93, 3 more than Houston, and 15 more than the Yankees. Daniel Vogelbach, Edwin Encarnacion, Mitch the Hammer Haniger, and Jay Bruce all with 10-plus homers, and that's over half of the starting lineup on any given night is a must-see at-bat just because of the excitement and potential of a home run. And it's not very often you want to watch bad baseball simply for power potential. What percent chance do you give the Mariners leading baseball in home runs?
Well, it's going to get to a point where they're like, well, why do we need hits? We're 940 games behind Houston. We could just – I mean, they only have one regular, their catcher, Nevarez, who's hitting over 280, I think. So basically all they have left is to hit homers. I have a feeling the dog days and the thin nature of this lineup will but I'll give him a shot. I'll give him a 1-3 shot, 33%.
The St. Thomas Tommies were everyone's favorite Division III football team in the MAIC. I know they were my favorite Division III football team. A classic football powerhouse, dominating the game from start to finish, making sure that those that bleed the purple and gray are proud to root for the Tommies on Saturday. That is until the rest of the teams in the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference involuntarily forced them out of the league. The Tommies were 118-19 in 11 years, winning by an average score of 45-12. This included multiple games scoring over a 60 and a mind-boggling 97-0 win over St. Olaf, who, trust me, deserved to lose by much more. It's almost unprecedented that a conference would say to a school, "You can't play here. You're too good." It makes me wonder if we can use the same concept with bad teams like the Quad A Orioles, Marlins, and Giants and just push them into their own Quad A division. The MIAC kicking out the St. Thomas Tommies because they were too good is blank.
Well, first of all, it's funny because when we get around to March Madness every year, I like to talk about the smaller conference tournaments, and I talk about the MEAC, but it's the Mid-Eastern Athletic with like Coppin State and Bethune-Cookman and schools like that. But this is the new MEAC, the MIAC.
The MIAC.
Yeah, I would say the proper word to fit in there is childish. You're winning, I'm taking my ball and not going home. I'm just kicking you out. We're leaving the ball here.
Yeah, it's my ball now.
All right. Is that a wrap?
And we're done. Yeah.
Oh,